Would like to ask you this morning to take your Bible and open to the book of Amos. The book of Amos, chapter number 4. If you have to look in the front and the index, go ahead and do that. Probably don't get to hear many messages from the book of Amos. And being that I've been the pastor for the last 16 years, that's probably my fault. But we don't want to lay any blame anywhere, do we? Amos chapter 4, a message today in light of what we just sang. Do you believe that Jesus is coming soon?
Yes.
I do. I believe he's very, very close to his chosen date of return. I'm looking forward to his return very much and looking for every day for his return to come for us. In light of that, of course, the message today, by the way, is all about preparing for that day. And I hope that you will listen carefully and allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to your heart as we talk about this title, Prepare to Meet Thy God. It's a phrase that you'll see in this chapter. Amos chapter 4, hopefully I've given you enough time to find it. Verse 1, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel, and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I'm going to pause just for a second and say this. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but he's not real happy with them. Okay? He's not real happy with the children of Israel at this point. Verse 6, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained, not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water. But they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Now this chapter, chapter 4 of Amos, just a very short chapter, really just 13 verses. And again, you can tell God is not very happy with the nation of Israel. He has done one thing after another thing after another thing to try to get their attention and to cause them to come back to him, to return to him. But in each case, they didn't respond as God was hoping that they would. And so in verse number 12, he mentions that statement that I'm using as the title today, Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. God is speaking to Israel, reminding her of the different ways he has tried to get her attention, hoping that they would change their behavior. And near the end of the chapter, of course, again, he warns them. And I hope you see it as a warning. He warns them, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." That statement is our text and our subject in this message. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and then we're going to continue, but I hope you'll consider the topic that we're going to deal with today. Think about America. Think about your family. Think about your individual life. Think about our church. Allow God to apply what we're going to say to all these areas, if you would. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for the ways that you do try to get our attention. I pray, God, that we'll pay attention to what we're hearing today, and that if there's any changes that need to be made in our lives individually, and hopefully we'll all just think about ourselves, not anyone else, not blaming anyone else, not thinking, boy, too bad they're not here so they could hear this, but me. Like the old spiritual song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." God, speak to my heart today, even as I'm speaking, and speak to the hearts of each individual here. Bless, please, this message as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you and I are much like the nation of Israel and the people of Israel, and we do prepare for a lot of different things in life. We, in our day that we're living today, we prepare to make a living by getting educated and getting trained. We prepare for a wedding, for instance, and we make a lot of preparation for that, and much of that falls on the bride, of course, not quite as much on the groom, but the families are involved. We prepare for our family, and we try to get a house and furnishings and all that, provide a home and a nice home life for our family. We prepare for, as we're working through our lives, we hopefully prepare for retirement. I've told several people recently, and I'm just going to mention this about our marriage, Sarah and I. We made a commitment to one another when we first got married, and we agreed together that we would never, ever consider divorce. We would work through whatever issues we had. We'd talk it through, pray it through. We were not going to consider divorce. So for us, our commitment was one day we'll be married 50 years and hopefully longer. All right? And this is what I've told several people recently. We always were committed to that, and we were always sure that we'd make it 50 years. But I can't believe it's already here. And I mean that sincerely. I can't believe that it's already here. Some of you in this room, I've been married 50 years or longer, and I'm sure that you can agree with me. It came up so fast. It came up so fast. But here we are. So we make preparation for a lot of things, and then like that 50-year anniversary, retirement will be here one day. And so we prepare for that, and we hopefully make investments, and we have pension plans and things like that. We prepare for the future of our loved ones by purchasing things like insurance and life insurance in particular, and maybe we even choose out a cemetery plot and all that. We get things ready, and we write down our wishes and all that. There's lots of things in life, I'm sure you'd agree with me, that we do prepare for, and those are good. It's good that we do that, all right? But how many people forget to prepare to meet God? Because, friend, that's coming. We just sang the song that Jesus is coming again. And by the way, he is. But not only is Jesus coming, we are also told in the Word of God that Judgment Day is coming. Again, speaking with someone yesterday, talking about the fact that there's a judgment for the unsaved, the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, but there's also a judgment for those who are saved, 1 Corinthians 3, for instance. You stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for your life, how you've lived your life since you've been saved. There's a judgment coming for everybody, and the Bible reminds us in a couple of different places, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. By the way, we need to prepare for that. We need to prepare for his coming. We also need to prepare for judgment day. We need to prepare for eternity. Eternity's coming. You're not going to live forever. Not here on earth anyway. So we prepare for many, many things in life, and yet there are an awful lot of people who forget to make preparation to meet God. They forget, for whatever reason, that someday they're going to meet God and they're going to have to give account for their life. And that's really the topic that I want to speak to you about this morning. First thought, why must we prepare to meet God? Well, I have two reasons for you. First, because we're all going to meet him. It's a foregone conclusion. We're all going to meet him. Now, there might be a time here in your life when you meet him, and you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you, in a sense, have met up with him, and he's shown you your sinfulness and his righteousness and so forth, and you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, and you see him working in your day-to-day life. There's that possibility, of course, that you meet him in this life, but for sure, we're all going to meet him in death. Every one of us are going to die someday. Hebrews 9, verse 27, first part of the verse says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been late to an appointment? Oh, sure. I had my hand up. This is one appointment you will not be late for. Now, I don't know when it is for you. I don't know when it is for me. But it is appointed, did you catch the word? It is appointed unto men once to die. Someday, everybody's going to die. And you're going to meet God. By the way, Job 7, verse 1, first part of the verse says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth?" Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? God knows when your last day is. You and I don't. That's why it would be wise to make preparation for that day. We're all going to meet him. You might meet him in this life and you might get saved. You're for sure going to meet him in death. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, you're going to meet him in judgment. Judgment day is coming for every one of us, just like death. By the way, Hebrews 9:27, I gave you the first part of the verse a moment ago. Let me give you the full verse. Here it is. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." See, it's an appointment. You're going to stand before God and you're going to be judged. So why must we prepare to meet God? Well, first, because we're all going to meet him. Second, because we're not ready to meet him as we are. There's a vast difference between men and women and God. A vast difference between people, individual people, men and women, and God. God is perfect. Now, I hope you'll understand this, and I hope you'll believe it. I think many of you do already, but it is hard for you and I to understand perfect. Amen. It is hard for us. And why? Because we're not. And nothing in this life that we know is. But God is. God is perfect. Here's another thought. God is also sinless. It's hard for us to grasp that also. Sinless? We are not sinless. We are very sinful. And the world that we live in is very sinful. And everyone around us is sinful. So it's hard for us to grasp perfect and sinless. God is also high and holy. Here again, how do you grasp that as a sinful human being? High and holy. There's a vast difference between men and women and God. We are sinners. We live in sin. We walk in sin. Listen, we talk in sin. We think in sin. If we were honest, I'm pretty sure everyone here, if you're honest, you'll admit to this. There are times that you don't want to think sinful thoughts. They just happen. They just happen. So again, we are sinners. We live in sin. We walk in sin. We talk in sin. We think in sin. I was speaking with some individuals yesterday, and we were talking about some things that happen in life. And, you know, as a Christian, you know you're supposed to behave this way. But in the flesh, you want to behave this way. You know why? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. We think, we act, we talk, we live in sin. It's with us all the time. So vile, sinful creatures like us, and I know we don't like to hear that, but vile, sinful creatures like us can never face a holy God like we are and be okay. It just isn't going to happen. Friend, listen, please. This is why we need salvation. Aren't you glad for Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Please understand, the Baptist church never saved anyone. A Baptist pastor never saved anyone. Oh, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He can save anyone. Anyone. And we all need salvation. And friend, that's why we need to make preparation. Why must we prepare to meet God first? Because we're all going to meet Him. Second, because we're not ready to meet Him as we are. This is why we need to make preparation. We must prepare to meet God. Second main thought today. Number one was, why must we prepare to meet God? Number two is this: how do we prepare to meet God? Did you ever notice there's a lot of religions in the world? Oh, man. And then this thought was, I was contemplating this just a few days ago. You realize, and I don't know the number, but do you realize how many different versions of the Bible there are? There's a pastor friend of mine that I'm, you know, loved, and of course he's in heaven now, but there's a pastor friend of mine that I have known for a while, and he's with the Lord now, of course, and I remember him saying different times, I believe the King James Bible, and that's the one that I read, and that's the one that I preach from. I am not a member of the Bible of the Month Club. And he was saying that because of all the different versions that are out there. And, you know, be honest with you, if you're a new Christian and you're trying to decide which Bible should I have, it can be difficult. And some of them are not worth the paper they're printed on. Some are more accurate than others, of course. The one that I, in my own personal belief system, that I believe is the most accurate is this King James Bible that I'm using. But I'm only saying that there's so many religions in the world, and then even among what we think of as Christianity, look at all the different Bible versions, and look at all the different churches, and look at all the different doctrines, and all the different opinions, and so forth. How in the world are you supposed to make sense of all this? How is all that diversity and difference going to help me get ready to meet God? How is that going to help me prepare to meet God? So many different religions in the world, so many different doctrines, so many different belief systems. You know, let me just boil it all down for you, okay? This is the simplest way I can put it. Of all the religions in the world, it basically comes down to two. One is telling you you got to do something to get right with God. Works. And usually it's, you know, several works that you got to do. Maybe it's sacraments, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. Give a lot of money to the church. Why not give a lot of money to the pastor? You know, just hope you know I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I just think if you're giving money away, I'll take some. got a grandson that works at a bank, and I was asking him the last time I saw him if he had any samples with him, but he didn't offer any. But with all the different religions and so forth, and all the different doctrines and all the different belief systems, it really only comes down to two. One of them is telling you things you have to do, many works, you know, to get right with God. The other one says it's already done.
Amen.
Jesus did it for you.
Amen.
Trust Him and you can be saved. Well, that's the one I'm with, by the way, that it's already done. Jesus did it for me. And so it isn't it isn't that I have to do anything necessarily. It's not because of good works. It's not because of generous gifts that you give away or whatever. What God is looking for, by the way, is repentance. Remember we talked about in that first thought about us being sinful and living in sin and walking in sin and talking in sin and thinking in sin. So God wants repentance. Repentance is a godly sorrow for that sin. It's a godly sorrow that causes you to turn away from that sin. And this is one of the very first steps in preparing to meet God. There's got to be repentance. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is necessary. Now, I realize a lot of churches aren't teaching that today, but it's Bible. Repentance. God also requires not only repentance, he requires faith in Christ. Why faith in Christ? Because he's the one that died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again. Faith is believing what God says about that and trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the one who paid the price for your sins. When you place your faith and trust in him and what he did for you on the cross, as long as you've turned away from your sin and you're trusting Christ, you're going to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. So when we think about preparing to meet God, God requires repentance, God requires faith in Christ, but God also requires a consecrated life. One of the things that we saw here in Amos chapter 4, and by the way, if you're following the Bible reading schedule, we're in the book of Amos. We read this chapter this morning, in fact, as one of the chapters. But have you noticed in the last several books, you know, think about, well, you can go back, there's many statements that deal with this in Proverbs too, but Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos. Have you noticed how many times God is speaking to the children of Israel, basically this message, turn around. Turn around. You're heading in the wrong direction. I don't want to have to judge you. I don't want to have to punish you. I don't want to have to allow some foreign nation to come and carry you off in captivity. I don't want to do that. Turn around. Sadly, what happened to the nation of Israel is they weren't listening. I don't know about you. I'm reading through these books in our Bible reading schedule, and I'm thinking, that's America all over. It's America. God is calling out and saying, turn around, turn around. But so few are listening. Consecrated life means, like with Israel, why don't you return? Why don't you come back to me? Why don't you give me your heart? Why don't you submit yourself to my will? Why don't you follow my leading in your life? You know, we sang about this morning when we were opening Sunday school, didn't we? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. All I have to do is follow. That's the consecrated life. Lord, I give you my life. You're my master. I'll follow you. All I have to do is follow. But how hard that is for individuals like us. In order to meet God and have any confidence of reward and well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have to have a desire to live a consecrated life. It's important to know that our eternal happiness and our eternal rewards depend on how we lived for Christ after we got saved. The desire to live a consecrated life, I think, should come as a result of being saved. I don't know about you, but for me, since I've been saved, and it's been quite a while now, but since I've been saved, I've wanted to live for God. I've wanted to please Him. Do I always please Him? No. I have to ask forgiveness many times. But do I want to please Him? Yes, most definitely. More than anything. That's the consecrated life. Why, this is number one, why must we prepare to meet God? because we're all going to meet him and because we're not ready as we are. Number two, how do we prepare to meet God? Well, God requires repentance and faith in Christ and a consecrated life. And by the way, if you ever want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, those three thoughts are really important. Repentance, faith in Christ, and a consecrated life. Number three, third main point, and my last main point for today. When should we prepare to meet God? When should we prepare to meet God? You probably have never had the opportunity to do this. Maybe you have, but I'm guessing many of you have not. There might be a few. And the opportunity I'm thinking of is to stand or sit at the bedside of someone that is dying. Of course, as a pastor, I get opportunities to do that more than I'd like to. But stand or sit next to somebody's bed who's dying, and you know they're unsaved, and they know they're unsaved, and they know they're dying, but they still refuse to get right with God. I've had a time or two when I was near someone's bedside and pleading with them to trust Christ as their Savior, and they refuse to do that. Wow, that's sad. That's so sad. I've had some that have decided to trust Christ as their Savior. I've had others who, right till the very moment they took their last breath, chose not to. And according to God's word, I know where they are. And it's really sad to think about. When should we prepare to meet God? I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, before you die. Before you die. I hope you're aware of this. There's no second chances after you die. I like to play golf. I haven't golfed in a couple of years. But I like to play golf. We were going to this summer, weren't we, Sarah? Today is the first day of fall. Oh, well. Now I'm going on vacation. Too bad. We were planning to, but we never did. Always something got in the way, and so we didn't do it. We both have a nice set of golf clubs sitting in the garage, waiting. I see them when I park the car in the garage, and it's almost like they whisper to me, "Psst. Psst, I'm over here. Don't forget about me. Take me out and play some golf today." I mention golf because, depending on who you're with, you can be, let's say, on the first tee and you might hit a bad shot and then take a mulligan. We don't usually, but take a mulligan. It's a, like, forget that first shot, take this one. And hopefully you hit that second shot right down the middle of the fairway, and off you go. Did you know in life there are no mulligans? Once you die, that's it. Once you die, your eternity is already sealed. You'll either go to heaven or to hell. Remember again, Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It's already a done deal. So, when should we prepare to meet God? Well, first of all, before you die. Secondly, this is just going to make sense to you, while you're still alive. Huh? Before you die, yes, but while you're still alive. Because death puts an end to all opportunities to get right with God. Death puts an end to that. Only the living still have a chance to prepare. Because again, there's no mulligans after you die. So when should you prepare to meet God? Before you die, while you're yet alive. Consider this, would you please? Thirdly, while you're still capable of making preparation. I've known situations, maybe you have too, where they thought they would take care of it before they left this earth. But somewhere near the end, they suffered terrible dementia, or some kind of an accident, or something happened in life where now they're not in the condition to make that decision. The day or time could come for you or for me that an accident or your life and your health change to the point where you can't make preparation. You're not able to. The day may also come, and a lot of folks don't consider this, but the day may also come when you are so held by the clutches of sin that you can't get free. You know, I'm not God, and I don't know this for 100% sure, but I am pretty sure that I know a couple of individuals who are so held by the clutches of sin that their opportunities are pretty much gone. You read in the book of Romans, and you'll see this, where in chapter 1, God says that with some people, he turns them over to a reprobate mind. He turns them over to their sinful wants and desires. And now they're to the point where they can never come back. So when should you prepare to meet God? Number one, before you die. Number two, while you're yet alive. Number three, while you're still capable of making preparation. And my fourth thought is this: when should we prepare to meet God? Right now. Right now. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Proverbs 27, 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. When's the best time to prepare? Right now. I'm almost done. Thank you for your patience. Listen to this illustration, and then I'll pray, and we're done. I've talked with you this morning about prepare to meet thy God. And number one was, why must we prepare to meet God? Number two, how do we prepare to meet God? Number three, when should we prepare to meet God? Here's my illustration, and then a prayer, and we're done. An eagle was flying above the Niagara River when his keen eye spied a dead chicken on a block of ice that was floating down the river. He swooped down, planted his feet firmly on the block of ice, and began to enjoy a good meal. Soon the ice began to float faster and faster down the stream, and the eagle knew that his time was limited, that soon the ice would plunge over the falls. But he was not afraid. He was king of the birds. He had flown over these falls many, many times. He could do it again. Soon he heard the roar of the falls, but decided to enjoy this meal just a little bit longer before he flew away. In a moment, he spread his mighty wings to fly, but he could not move. Because he delayed, his feet had sunk into the ice, and he could not free himself. The block of ice plunged over the falls, carrying the screaming eagle to his death on the rocks below. This is just an illustration and a story, but it illustrates what many people do. They are enjoying their sin for a season. They know that someday they must die, but they keep on repeating to themselves, before that time comes, I'll give up my sin, I'll give my heart to Jesus, I'll get ready to meet God. But they become so entrenched in their sin that they come to the time when it has a death grip on them and they cannot leave it to come to God. And so they die in their sin and are plunged forever into eternal darkness and punishment in hell. Are you prepared to meet God? Am I prepared to meet God? Our title again this morning, Prepare to Meet Thy God. Friend, it's going to happen. I hope you're ready. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, and no one's looking because we don't want to embarrass anyone. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. That was the plea from Amos to the children of Israel. That's my plea to you this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for this subject. In this topic, may we all take it to heart. May we make preparation because that day is coming. And We don't know exactly when that day and time is for us, and that's why now is the best time to get ready. If there's anyone here that's not saved, may today be the day of their salvation. And those who are here and already saved, may we all examine ourselves and make sure that we're not only in the faith, but our life is pleasing to you. Bless this invitation now, please. In Jesus' name, amen.